Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We have a lovely guest today by the name of Jessie Bennett. Jessie is a children's book author. She's a wellness expert and yoga and Pilates teacher. She is trained in both prenatal and kids yoga and has been teaching for over 20 years. Her mission is to inspire kids to believe in their power to make the world a kinder, more gentler place. Jessie is the author of 4 children's books, The Yoga House, Sunshine, Lift, and Ripple, all written and illustrated by her, which is extremely impressive. Each book considers the power of kindness, encouraging children and parents to be good to themselves and to one another. Hi, Jessie. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to talk about not just yoga, but really breath work. I know that's also included in your work. And I believe you talk about this in your children's book, The Yoga House, as well. So I wanted to kick this off with, what started your journey with breath work and yoga?
What started my journey most recently in becoming an author and kind of wrapping it all together with motherhood was my daughter was having a hard time falling asleep. And so I remember when she was a baby and I would lay her on me and I would just breathe and her breathing would start to match mine. And then all of a sudden we were both a little bit calmer. And so I wrote her a meditation and I read it to her and my son every night for about 6 months. And I realized it was a practice. And the way I describe it, especially when I read to schools and I visit classrooms, I just want the words to feel like a warm hug and an easy way to tap into their breath there, which is like their superhero toolkit, you know, if they can tap into it. And so I started reading this to my kids every night and I realized, wow, it's actually working and they're falling asleep, bonus, you know, after a long day and their busy mind. And so we really tapped into like taking big breaths in, soothing breaths out, and letting it be something that we use before bedtime. But then also, you know, a lot of things come up in the day for kids especially. And so all of a sudden they had some tools to be able to respond instead of react during their days. So that was what led me into writing The Yoga House. I wrote the meditation first and then I realized, oh, it's working. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, I buy these books that, about mindfulness and kindness for kids. Maybe I should write one. So then I started just going for it. So that's how the breath work and the meditation really led me into also being an author.
I think it's fabulous. First and foremost, I have to say, I think it's great that not only did you write, but do the illustration. I mean, that's a lot of work. It takes a lot of motivation, but it's also extremely inspiring to do that.
Oh, thank you. Well, my illustrations are very simple. And I always tell kids when I visit schools and classrooms that everything I use to make my illustrations comes from Target and or from my kids' craft, you know, their little crafts briefcase. And so if I can do it, they can too. So a big part of what I do with my books is also just to inspire kids to know that if I can do it, they can as well. And they can use blank pieces of paper nearby and they can use their color pencils or their crayons in their classroom and they can be an illustrator and an author too.
I think that's fabulous because that not only is helpful for children, but it really is helpful for just adults who have, you know, huge creative aspirations and they really want to either write a book or, you know, take on some creative project, but they feel that they're not enough or they don't have the skills or the credentials to be able to do something like that.
Right. And that's huge. That is so right. And so what I always tell my friends or people who reach out to me too, is that if I can do it, you can do it. And you just begin, you just start. There's no handbook or rule book on how to do any of this. If it's in you, it's yours. So there's no imposter syndrome. It's just share what your message is and be proud of it.
Exactly. So you were saying that with breath work, it really helped your children with responding, not so much reacting. And I think, just from a personal standpoint, I feel like a majority of people are just used to being very reactive towards something. I think it's very rare to take a pause, and to think about even how you will respond or why it's, a situation's impacting you a certain way or what have you. So this is not just useful for children, right? This is extremely useful for adults.
It's so useful for adults for sure. And it is taking that pause in this world where we have everything so fast and we respond quickly and we can look it up on our phone. If we can just take a pause and take a breath and respond instead of react, it's huge. And I think it makes the world just a little kinder. A little
Definitely.
gentler, on our, and also to ourselves too. If we can tap into our breath, it takes that moment for ourselves before we're too harsh on ourselves.
So what do you think happens when, because I'm not deeply familiar with, breath work. So what happens during the breathing work, like when you're taking that pause? What do you think occurs in that moment?
What I think occurs, because I am not a scientist, but I do practice breath work and I teach it in every class, and I work on it with my kids. And when I visit schools, there's something that happens when we take that big breath in and we pause and we let it out. It's like a soothing balm for our soul. That's what it kind of
Yeah.
like. It's just like there's a calmness, a grounding, and I tell this to my kids all the time because and I watch them implement it too, which is huge. But when we feel like the world is a lot, whatever it is in our day, our thoughts, the day, whatever feels so big, if we can just come home to ourselves with our breath, it really just grounds us. And there's so many wonderful things our breath does for us, but I really feel like it truly calms us from the inside out. And it's just part of our superhero toolkit that is always there for us. It's so easy to breathe all day without being mindful of it. But if we can just invite in just a little bit extra awareness around it, I feel like it benefits us so much for our mind and our body and that connection to both.
Right. So if let's say there's a parent who's interested in this because they have children who are very
Yes.
reactive, what does this tool look like? So let's say they have there's a child who is dealing with, I don't know, anger, maybe some anger challenging issues that way, or anxiety. How would you ask them to implement it in those cases? What does that look like?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things I love to do when I visit classrooms and I see it help kids. And so I'll share a couple of my favorite things. And I think something that's helpful is to have something to focus on. And so what I often have kids do is show me a high five. So they just give me a high five in the air, and then with their opposite pointer finger, we trace our hand. We take a big breath in, and when we get to the top of a finger, we take a big breath out, kind of. And I'll say, you can smell the roses, the donuts, whatever makes you breathe in and pause and then breathe out. So I give them something to focus on, something to touch, and a fullness of their breath with a goal. And that's a settling. Another thing I found too, when palms go up to the sky, it just naturally relaxes us when their palms are up. So I'll often have kids raise their palms up on an inhale, press their palms down on an exhale, and you can just feel your energy settle. So that's been helpful too when I'm in a group setting with kids and with my kids too, if they're upset or when they've called me from school and something's, been a challenge, we breathe together over the phone. So these are
Yeah.
the tools that they know that they can grab. But I found that using our hands, like something visual, a breathing ball going in and out, is also wonderful. But it really, really does help kids and adults. But I like to use hands a lot. They're right there for us. And so they're a great tool to trace and to breathe, to give them a visual of something that smells amazing. Blowing out birthday candles on the way out, whatever feels right to them. But I've watched kids do it and they get it. They ask for it when I visit classrooms. And then I'll watch the teachers do it. And they said they'll do it on their parent and teacher conferences. Because if we ask someone to calm down without giving them a tool to do it, those words, they don't feel so good, right? But if we're like, hey, let's do this together, then it's for them, not to them.
Exactly. And I guess so with your children and any other children that you've encountered, Have you seen particular situations where once they've done the exercise, they reapproach a situation in a different way?
I see it with my kids.
Yeah.
For sure, I definitely do, and I see it when I go visit schools too, because I'll visit like our particular school often, and so kids will come up to me and ask to do like the take five breath, or I'll take a deep breath with them, and they will breathe with me, and it's just I think kids are so receptive to it. So I haven't seen it at work on the playground, but I've seen it with my kids in action, and even my husband too. He does it.
Yeah. I was going to ask you too, if you've noticed that, I mean, it's good. It's really, I think, good to hear that children are very receptive to that. And I wonder if you think adults are very receptive to implementing a new exercise like this in their daily lives. Because I do think as we get older, we have habits that form. And we react to certain situations kind of like in the same way when things hit a nerve. So working with adults, do you think that there's a little bit more reluctance to implementing a new practice, to how they're, you know, approaching life, certain situations?
You know, that's a great question. I think that kids are just so open and willing to try things. And so kids are wonderful to work with in that way. But I work with adults, you know, during the week, and I teach classes. And so the adults that show up on the mat are open to something. I know it. If they show up for themselves, those four corners of the mat is a great starting point. So maybe if they don't have a breath work practice yet, or just that, even that awareness around their breath, if they're willing to step on their mat and move their bodies, then movement kind of just helps to open us up a little bit. But for sure, I mean, as we start moving through life and the armor gets put on and all the hats we wear, it is hard to bring something in. And so my hope is that when families read my books, or they're read in classrooms and brought home, that they see that it's not complicated. It is very accessible, and it's always there for us. It doesn't, you know, it's free. It's just taking a moment to tap in and tune into what our breath feels like and what it can do for us. So I believe in the power of adults to change, but I also see how they can be stuck in their ways too. But I know if they show up on the mat with me that they're willing to move their bodies, and we need our breath to move our bodies.
Exactly. So for you on a personal level, how has breath work transformed you or any situations that have been difficult in your life?
Oh my gosh. Breath work has given me so much power and control. I guess that's for sure. Being a mom, it's given me a lot of control when things have come up with my kids and hard things, to be able to take that breath and know I need to be strong for them. My breath has been there. And so I'm so grateful for my yoga practice and my Pilates practice, because it's real life practice. And it's very much come in handy for me as a mom and as an adult, and even just in life. Like, I find that because of it, I hope that it helps me pivot easier when things, you know, everyday things shake up or a little different than what we had hoped or planned. And I feel like they don't affect my steady state, if that makes sense.
No, I think it's a really good point. I guess just for people who are listening, how would you, I guess, let me just say, what are the different types of breath work that you teach or incorporate?
Yeah. So usually when I begin a class, for example, when I teach, we just start with some really big breaths in through our nose, out through our mouth, simple soothing breaths. And with that, I'll add shoulder rolls or neck rolls. So just to kind of release any tension that the breath can soothe the body. So we do that. Another great way to do it is, so we take those big breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. We also take a big breath in and hold pause at the top and then release it. So I'll do that with my kids too. And that breath is supposed to help with more anxious thoughts, more feelings of anxiety, that pause at the top and then releasing. So I practice that with my kids too, and my classes. And the wonderful thing too about the breath, anywhere in life, whether we're on the mat or we're at Target, that exhale breath that we tap into, it drops us right into our body, but it also functionally engages our deepest layer of abdominals that wrap around our back. So if we're reaching up for something tall at the store or in our pantry, and we have that mindfulness, a little bit of awareness around our breath, we're going to be safer. Our back will be safer. Our core will be engaged. And that's all from our breath. So an audible exhale that I try to teach in my Pilates and yoga classes will engage the core. So I always tell people, if they are breathing and aware of their breath, the fullness of it, the exhale, you can feel your core drawing in and up to protect you. They're safe and they're practicing. It doesn't matter what the outside is doing. The inside is practicing.
I think that's super, super amazing. And I love that you said these are techniques that we can use, whether we're like in the grocery store or Target or something, because those places, even though they're supposed to be enjoyable, they can be really stressful.
Totally. And that breath work helps you respond instead of react, right? So when someone cuts in front of you, or it's a new checker and you have to, you know, you're feeling anxious, sometimes it just gives you that moment of empathy for someone around you, a little bit extra compassion, not just being like, they're wasting my time.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And I think, you know, I know that one of your goals is to make the place, you know, this world more kinder.
Yeah.
You know, and I personally think, yes, finding some sort of way to manage your stress, to manage your reactions, will help to put you into a better state of mind, so that, you know, you're responding with more care, empathy, or you're more thoughtful first.
Right.
You know?
I completely agree. And it's little things, like if half the people at Target took a big breath before they got in line or in the parking lot, imagine it could be just those little shifts for even half of the people. Like, how would that trickle? And that's what my fourth book is called, Ripple, but it's like the ripple effect, right? If someone provides you with a little extra patience, well, maybe you didn't have that in your day, but maybe now you will.
Yes, I think that's very true. I think though, sometimes we don't really, I mean, I know that we're humans, we're going about our day, you know, everyday life. We get up in the morning, we have our routines, whatever that looks like, and we make it through the day. But I don't really think that all the time we sit down to think about how our words or our reactions, you know, really impact somebody's day and how they can have like lingering or lasting effects.
Good and bad.
Yes, good and bad. And I think we, as a society, tend to focus more on bad things, but I don't think that we always get to see the positive ripple effect of our actions or our words.
Right. And they make such a difference. And so I think that knowing that it happens when we give a little smile or kindness or take that breath so we can have that smile and kindness, just trusting that it's coming from a good place and knowing that we don't have to see where that ripple goes.
Exactly. That's very true.
Because we don't always get to see the fruit of our ripple.
We don't. We really don't. And I think if anything ever changed in this world where we could actually see the effects of our actions, it would force us to stop in our tracks and really make us more careful about who we are as humans and how we use our words and how we treat others. And I think that's why what you're doing is super impactful, because it starts when you're young.
It does. And I think that's why I started writing too, is just, I thought about the world I want my kids to grow up in. And if I can just make any impact in that world, so it's a little kinder, a little bit more open and gentler, even if it's a small impact, it's worth it.
Definitely. It really is worth it. And I think, you know, we do, sometimes we feel so insignificant. We think that, you know, who we are, what we do has literally no impact on anybody, but we really don't get to see how powerful we are. Even something so, so small, kind, even just a kind word could turn somebody's whole day around.
It's so true. And you never know who needs it. And you never know what invisible battles people are fighting through and showing up for themselves through. And so giving, I think just entering the day with a little bit of extra compassion too, because maybe someone is reactive towards you, but we also don't know what their day is like or what happens inside their home. And so I try to remember that too, when people step on the mat with me, it's a privilege, and I don't know what's happening with them at home or what battles they're fighting. And so what all I can do is provide a safe space where hopefully I can make their world a little bit better and they can just continue to make another world better.
Definitely. I think I like this idea of like breath work and implementing it as a part of your daily practice. It's also like an act of compassion.
It is for ourselves first, right? So it's like, yeah, so we take that breath and that gives us the compassion towards ourselves, and then we're able to give it away and share it.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, if you can teach that to children, it will go such a far way, because even as a child, you know, there are things happening, you know, people in households that we don't know what's going on. So if you teach that child compassion at such a young age, it'll, you know, help them to be more compassionate and kinder and gentler adults.
I think so too. And be aware of their emotions. You know, it's so easy to breathe shallow and kind of keep everything surface level. But when we take those big breaths, we feel bigger. We feel like deeper. We kind of tap into what's really going on with ourselves. And I see it with kids too. I recently went and visited a school, and there's a part in my book, I think, where I say we place our hand on our heart and we take a big breath in, we take a big breath out, and our mind and our body registers a hand on our heart as a hug. And this little girl said, the student, she said, "I had a really hard morning and this makes me feel better about myself." And I thought, well, if she just learned one thing and I in one day got better from any of this, then it was all worth it. But that's another thing we can do, is just place our hand on our heart and breathe. And it's just like an act of love.
Definitely. So if there is somebody who's listening and they, you know, even if it's an adult, most likely it's an adult who's listening to this, but like, children, where are you? But if they want to start, because they're having issues like managing their own emotions or anxiety or restlessness in a way, like, how would you like guide them to begin this journey into breath work?
The wonderful thing is you can begin right now, like right this moment. You just take a big breath and turn your palms up, because that will naturally calm you. Take a big breath in, let your palms follow you up. Take a big breath out, let them press down. Honestly, that is all it takes. So we don't have to go somewhere that looks a certain way. We don't have to step on a yoga mat. The room doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to light a candle. Show up for yourself. Take a big breath in. Let it out. Do it again. Give yourself three of those and see if you feel a little different. When we focus on our breath, we can't focus on the mind chatter and the thoughts that maybe we don't want to entertain, and we are not our thoughts. So we can let those go. And when we focus on our breath, the chatter starts to calm and quiet. And that's what I find with my kids too. So for the adults that are listening, you could do this anywhere. Even if you're in the car, just keep your eyes open, take a big breath in, pause, and a big breath out. And so that is how we begin. How we begin is just beginning, right?
Right.
With anything. So just knowing that they're worthy of these big breaths and that they can do it anywhere at any time, and that it will only serve them. It's like nourishing soul food for your body and mind, you know? So I think that sometimes we feel like things have to all be in alignment to begin something, which might sound big or daunting. It's not. Your breath is with you all day. We're just asking to call it in for a little bit more mindfulness so it can serve us even better.
Definitely. And I think just going back to something you said about calming the mind chatter, mm-hmm. And I think, you know, having some sort of technique to be able to address that would be useful to everybody, because we have so many thoughts a day. Our mind is constantly going. We're either vacillating between what happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future. It's always like anxiety ridden. I think it would be nice to find something to help us, like, you know, quiet what's going on upstairs for even just a minute.
And don't you find that the thoughts that we have, I heard the statistic, so it might be a little bit off because I don't have it in front of me, but that they're repetitive. So mm-hmm. often that chatter is like 90% the same repetitive thought. So how do we break that chain? Yes. We become mindful with our breath. Choosing a mantra is wonderful. Focusing on something that's right in front of you. These are things that I do with my kids too at night, because they lay their heads down. the world gets quieter, their mind gets busier. And so, and that's with adults too. And so it's something I work on with myself too, how to change the chatter, how to reclaim and find my the control of my thoughts so that I can direct them how I want. So
and I think that's very wonderful, because one of the things that you said is that we're not our own thoughts. And can you talk just a little bit more about that? Because I think that would be really helpful for people.
Well, these thoughts that can come in, they can be judgy. They can be cruel. They can be scary, anxiety ridden, these things. And so we take these what ifs into, like, so for example, because we at home, so any these things, I just tell my kids, let them pass like a cloud. It's okay that they came in, but we're going to watch them go away. Or picture them in a balloon and let them pop. Now bring in what you do want to bring in. Think of something that makes you happy, even if it's like you're like I tell my kids to picture our dog's face or picture walking into Disneyland. Pull in something positive, gently swipe away what's not working and literally change the channel. So we change the channel if what like the tuner on the radio or on the TV. And so we practice doing that with our minds. And that's what I has. That's what's helped me, and what I do with my kiddos, and also other instructors that have come to me and ask, like, "What do you do?" They've come to me and say, "What do you do? Like, how do you do this?" Because it's not that my life is easier or whatever it is, but I practice this daily, and I practiced it because I needed it too, and I need it every day. We're all human.
Definitely, and I think. Also, I think I've read this before in the past that like even doing something like breath work can actually help you, you know, become more healthier, like in a physical way. Have you noticed this for yourself at all?
I absolutely notice this. And physically, what goes on when you focus on your breath, for example, when we're practicing Pilates on the mat, when you are focusing on your breath, you're engaging your core. So your core is getting stronger and your low back is getting stronger. You're practicing in a way that's going to support your body. So I always say when we focus on our breath, we're safer, we're stronger, it's functional, but then it drops you into the present moment. Because like you said, so many things pull us out of it, that what's happened or what's going to. But when we breathe and we really focus, we are right here and it drops us right here. So functionally, it's wonderful and it makes our core stronger, our back stronger. And I feel like it just eases, you know, like if you feel like your heart's going a million miles a minute, you know, like to help soothe and bring it down is huge.
So was it hard for you, like when you first started doing this, you know, how long did it take for it to become like a habitual part of your day?
Oh my goodness. I feel like honestly in the last 10 years, probably prioritizing that, taking care of myself and showing up for myself. And I think it really goes hand in hand with just being kind to ourselves. And I've become kinder to myself where in the past, maybe I wasn't as kind or, and so I think that knowing that I deserve to be nice to myself came hand in hand with a breath work practice and a yoga practice. And then wanting to share that with my kids, because I really want them to be kind to themselves. And we can't really be kind to others the way we really have the capacity to unless we're kind to ourselves.
Exactly. And I think framing this for people who might be, you know, reticent or reluctant to try something new, because whenever you're trying something new, if you really want to be committed, you really have to, like, you know, commit it into your everyday life, like find a way to incorporate things into your everyday life. And I think sometimes, you know, asking, you know, why am I doing this? How is this going to be helpful? And I think, you know, earlier we were talking about it as an act of like compassion, but I think also, like you said, an act of self-care, like caring for yourself mentally, physically, emotionally. You know, I think maybe looking at it, this practice in that way will help people to really have the desire to make it a part of your everyday life. Because whenever we try something new, it's really hard to be consistent, you know?
Absolutely. And it's hard to slow down sometimes.
Yes.
Like, unless I see an outside way this is serving my day, why would I slow down and focus on my breath for even just 30 seconds?
Yeah.
But I promise that if you try, it'll feel really, really good. And if you place a hand on your heart and a hand on your core and take a big breath into it and just come home to yourself, it'll feel like a gift.
And have you found, like, when you are doing this, like in a stressful situation, do you think it has brought you any new insights into that in that situation, even just taking those moments to relax and breathe?
I think that my breath practice and just my yoga practice and how it's affected me mentally and made me stronger has absolutely provided me with just being very calm in stressful situations and scary situations and situations where I'm being tested. So I absolutely, and I can picture all of them, and knowing I can kind of drop into it, and it brings me a sense of grounding and peace and calm and strength. So I didn't know I was going to get that by just having a breath work practice along with my yoga and my Pilates, but I'm so grateful. But that's something that we all have within us.
Right. So if a parent, wants to try this with their kids, like what is one simple exercise that they can, teach them to kickstart?
The kickstart, an easy one. Take five breaths. You give yourself that high five and you trace your hand, breathing into the top of your finger, breathing out as you go down. It can be like a ski slope. You can breathe in something amazing at the top, breathe out. You can do this is great for everyone. I also rub hands together so they get nice and warm, and then I let them expand. Our inhales expand us. I always say our exhales bring us home. So they can just rub their hands, take a big breath in, big breath out. They can rub their hands together and place them on their own heart and breathe into their hands. Also for parents, they can, an easy way too is to grab a stuffed animal and place it on, like if you're just snuggling at night, and just watch that stuffed animal lift and lower, like with the breath, big full breaths. At night, I often bring my hands like on my kiddos' backs, and I just say, breathe into my hand. And as soon as I feel their breath, I say, that's it, that's the breath. And so I just keep encouraging them to breathe big because we have big feelings, especially at night. So, I mean, like most nights of the week. So it's not that the breath work technique makes the rest of the stuff go away. We just have a tool to handle it to the best we can.
Definitely. Well, Jesse, I'm so glad that you came today and we had a really
Thank
great
you.
conversation. And your book, if somebody wanted to purchase it, where can they find it?
All of my books are available on Amazon. That's probably the easiest place to find them, but online or through me. I love signing books and sending them, so they can always reach out to me as well, and I'm happy to sign and send books too.
Awesome. And if anybody wanted to connect with you, your website.
You know what? The best way to get a hold of me is just honestly on Instagram. It's just my name, Jessie Bennett. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Jesse, thank you again for being here today. And everybody, you can find Jesse on Amazon or Instagram, and I'll put all of the information in the description box below. So thank you, Jesse. I'm so glad
Thank
that you came,
you.
and it's a wonderful discussion.
Thank you so much for having me.